You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Dog Pound, are you volunteering? The Browns do, and that's what First and Ten's all about. We gave our two last week. We got eight more to go. Make your pledge to give 10 today by contributing 10 hours to community service on ClevelandBrowns.com, where your orange wristband, I wear it all the time. Wilhelm's got his on as well. Make a statement that you give back. The Cleveland Browns team is part of the First and Ten movement, and you can be as well. Give 10. 216-578-0850. As we go back to the phone lines here, we'll go to Jeff in California. Jeff, welcome.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Good, man.
Hey, when I'm listening to the post-game comments, the press conferences from Coach Pettine and the players, one of the callers mentioned the other day how, you know, it seemed like everybody's sad and disappointed, which is fine. And I know Robert Kerman just talked about, you know, trying to keep things even keel. But at what point do you just get mad, get angry, you know, about what's going on? So, Matt, have you, in your time, is that something that happens a lot? You see guys throwing helmets or gear at some point because they're frustrated after a tough loss? And Nathan, you're actually, I don't know if you get a chance to even go in the locker room or see when they're going in, but is that something that you've seen at all this year?
I mean, I know Josh McCown was very, very devastated after the last game. I don't know if anybody was per se angry. It's interesting because you get, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but one of the things is I've gotten more and more and more around professional sports is that maybe it's because you are professionals, but on some level, some of that emotion goes out of the game.
It does. It definitely does. I mean, there, I would say a game, you know, that you hand away, and you can't say the Denver Broncos game was handed away. There were opportunities that we could have taken
sure
the football game and won it.
Yep.
So it wasn't handed away. But when you give away a football game because you only get 16 opportunities, it's a big deal. Or when you lose a football game that you've been ahead by, you know, in a game predominantly the entire football game, and then you give it away to another football team and they come back, there's a type of disappointment because you've executed part of your plan to a T to get up. And then at that point moving forward, you have done nothing to secure that victory and secure it to take it home with you and finish what you started. And I think a divisional opponent, especially in this AFC North, I think this is, you know, a rivalry-driven division, at least from a Cleveland Browns standpoint, where you've got the Battle of Ohio, you've got the Browns-Steelers, which is the great rivalry, and the connection to the Ravens makes that a rivalry game, where every division game is a rivalry game. And emotions run high in divisional-type football games. And I think a little bit of the reason why you might not see it is a little bit of what you said, with the, you know, as professional athletes, you learn to lose, you know, easily. I don't say easily, but courageously and respectfully, and you're able to win. And only in a few times do you see any smack talking because you win respectfully as well. But with this team, when we win, it's jubilation because it's been so few and far between in the last 15 years, you know. And when you lose consistently, guess what? You get used to losing. And even more so, you lose that emotion to the point where, why am I going to put, you know, all this, get super pissed and throw my helmet and so on and so forth when we've lost X amount of games and, you know, what, 9 of the last 11 or whatever it is. You know, you don't get upset over those things anymore because it's become your status quo, which is horrible to say, but it's reality.
At what point, though, does just the notion, for example, with this run defense, the notion of just pride take over and you get angry because you're getting, you know, quote unquote, you know, made to not look good on a week to week basis.
We're about that point right now because reputations are on the line. While we talk about the great things that Carlos Dansby could accomplish in his career, 40 sacks, 20 picks, I think he's 2 picks away from that, and that's an elite group of people. But right now, Carlos Dansby is answering a lot of questions about this defense and their inability to stop the run. And as an inside linebacker, as a part of that defense, it's starting to like, you know, diminish what he's accomplished in his career as a player outside of being a Cleveland Brown. He's now linked to the Browns and the fact that they're 32nd against the run.
Right, which is certainly a troubling stat. And I heard yesterday that it's been a long time since a team was 32nd in the run the year before and then 32nd the following season this late into the season. It's been a while. They've got to get it cleaned up, and this will be the biggest test of this run defense all year long going against this very, very, very good team. Steve and Avon, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hey, guys. Could it be that it's just this is what the Browns are? I mean, we know who they have and the Pro Bowlers and the talent, but, I mean, you know, Detroit has good talent, and they're not very good. The Bears have some pieces and very good players, you know, Pro Bowl players, but they are what they are. So, I mean, I don't know if it's the players or the coaching, but maybe they're a 6-10, 7-9, 8-8 team right now. That's just what they are. And we know that there's a, you know, as Matt would say, is a 10-6, 6-10, you know, there's a lot of close games in the NFL.
Sure.
You could flip it pretty quick, but
you
maybe
can.
They either don't have the players or the coaching to just, you know, make those certain plays at certain times in the game that they need to make. I mean, maybe that's just what they are.
Well, I think that is who they are. You know, and on the high end, what I gave 9-7 on a high end, 6-10 on a low end. That's the window that I thought this Cleveland Browns football team was going to fit into this season. And I think you're off your rocker to think it's anything more than 9-7. You got to get lucky on multiple occasions in the National Football League. But just to answer your question, you look at the Bears, you look at the Lions, and again, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but the Cleveland Browns are close. The fact that you're losing by last-second field goals, and so we're close. How do you finish the deal? And that's the point that I made on Monday is you make the one play, the interception, the pick six, to get you back in the game. Who's the next killer to close you out?
Right.
And in some cases, that killer for every team in the National Football League, at least the ones that win more than they lose predominantly, is their quarterback. They are the game manager. They want the ball in their hands. They want to be the guy that makes the throws. They don't trust anybody else. They don't trust their defense. Peyton Manning doesn't trust his defense. I mean, they're the number one defense in the league, but Peyton Manning wants the football 32 times out of 32 times to be the guy that kills your will defensively and works methodically down the field in overtime easily with the run pass to kick a field goal and win the game. Because Peyton Manning goes, oh, ugly game, threw three picks, one for a touchdown. He doesn't care. The W to him at the end of the day and maintaining the fact that he's healthy and they're undefeated is all that matters. He's the killer. Aaron Rodgers is the killer. Tom Brady's the killer. We have Josh McCown. Josh McCown's making good plays. Josh McCown's not our killer. We don't have a killer. We don't have the guy that, you know, tees the ball. We can tee it up, but we have no one comes and smacks it, you know, smacks that ball into the goal or 350 yards when we need to.
And that's what is the difference between the teams that find a way to win and those who come up a little bit short. Scott in Cleveland, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I just got a quick question and a quick comment. First, my comment is, where are the leaders on the team? Because, you know, we got Joe Hayden and we got Joe Thomas, but where is the Tom Brady? Where's the Ray Lewis? You know, where are those guys that, not even just leaders, where's the guys that when it's crunch time, like I saw at the Broncos game, I saw Gary Kubiak on TV talking to his offense, and he looked real passionate. I haven't seen that yet from a coach or any player, and not just in off the field, but during the game too. Like, where's that intensity at? I think that's what we need to get us over those humps, because that's where that's where we lose in the close games. And my question would be, we won one game in overtime against Baltimore. So my question is, if we win miraculously, if we win all our division games, or at least most of them, to get into the playoffs, but tend to lose the non-division games, would you count this season as a success? Like, how would you view the season at that point?
Then we don't make the playoffs, but we do well in our division, like go 4-2 in the division.
Right.
If you go 4-2 in the division, that's something you certainly can build on, and it's something that you can, you know, preach to the guys, like, listen, that's how we control our destiny. If we can continue to take care of business in the division, you know, all we've got to do is really go 5-5. If we go 4-2 in the division, probably just got to go 5-5 against the rest of the NFL, and that's going to vary year to year on your schedule, et cetera, but I think the team would certainly feel a lot better about it, and I'm sure the coaches would. If you go 4-2 in the division, that means that you've beaten, you know, you swept one team in your division, and you split with that. You beat every team in your division, most likely.
But
you went sweep, sweep.
Right. And I get all that, and that's fine. And the path to winning football is winning your division consistently. But we're 0-3 against the AFC West. And we've got probably the worst team in the AFC West still left to play. So we've lost to, what, a 2-4 Raiders team or 3-2?
We've lost to the undefeated Broncos.
Undefeated Broncos, the 2-4 Chargers.
The 2-4 Chargers and the Oakland Raiders, who have only played 5 games.
Right. Are they 2-3 or 3-2?
And they are. I don't think they're 3-2. They've got to be 2-3. The Raiders are 2-3. The Chargers are 2-4. The Broncos 6-0. Kansas City is 1-5.
Right, which might be, if you look at it top to bottom, a bottom three division in football.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you might have thought it was going to be better than that early, but certainly it's not at this point. I would totally agree with that assessment of this division. Completely. Completely. Got to get better. All right, when we come back, speaking of the NFL, we're going to go around the league here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.